Let me ask all three of you guys this. Do you guys always get off on one night stands? And do your partners usually have climaxes?
Multiple. Some
Whoa.
I'd say, and the partners maybe it depends.
I've not had a one night stand except with three prostitutes in Tijuana, Mexico.
There it is. All right.
I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like three times.
As far as I know, they've had sex four times and it resulted in four children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
This episode is brought to you by Promescent, a topical lidocaine penis spray.
It's basically a numbing spray for your dick that makes you last longer in bed, something that you could use, Cam.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's also wonderful because it doesn't transfer to your partner.
That is wonderful. I think this, if you want to improve your stamina, if you want to extend that intimacy, go to promescent.com, type in promo code MOM, you'll get 15% off your order.
And it's very safe.
My favorite part. Kama Sutra was the first to make intimacy and foreplay products in 1969.
I think I've been using them since then.
Jesus Christ.
No, they're really good. They have a massage candle. They have oils that are phenomenal. This very sophisticated, classy company.
And the best part?
You get a promo code, MOM. No,
that is not the best part. The best part is that it's a company run by a mom and her sons.
That does warm the cockles of my heart.
This was a brief little discussion we had with one of the sons.
Working with your mom, like, give me an example of subjects that you guys discuss.
Right now, a big thing is the adjustable head on our vibrators. So we're talking about getting the right angle. When it comes to G-spot stimulation.
I totally agree. That is a very important quality that a vibrator needs.
That you need to discuss with your mother?
And you should discuss it with your mother.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's going to be able to help you more than you're going to be able to figure that one out on your own.
Go to KamaSutra.com and get 20% off your order by entering promo code MOM.
That's a deal.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a self-proclaimed sex expert and cougar.
And my son is a self-proclaimed stand-up comic and mime.
I like that you can make yourself laugh.
Make him laugh. Make him laugh.
All right. All right. This podcast is all about talking about the things you're not supposed to talk about with your parents, which means we talk about sex.
We talk about drugs.
We talk about Tijuana hookers.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
In this episode, we have two of my very close friends, Doug and Scott, come on the show. And they are absolutely hysterical. Scott is a character. Doug prods him like no one I've ever met before.
It's almost like he takes on a motherly instinct.
It's perfect. It's a perfect dynamic. I couldn't have been happier to have these guys on the show. And the stories that we got from them, especially, I mean, mainly about Scott's life.
Yeah. This guy joined the...
He entered religious life.
Yeah.
And needless to say, he left religious life.
And he was the least likely person to enter the Friars Club or whatever it's called.
Great. The ministry. Then he talks about how his tactic in picking up women, which I've observed firsthand, which is...
ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
And then we talk about his one-night stand, a.k.a. Well, you don't want to give it away? All right.
No. It's ridiculously funny. This guy is very, very smart.
We have a listener question that was a perfect... it will be a perfect segue into this episode. I'll read it because my mother tried to read it before and it came out like gobbledygook. Okay, so this is from Michael. Thank you very much for emailing us, Michael. He says, what do you guys think of Tinder? I get matches on there, though the women don't seem to be interested in meeting up. I do keep convos funny a bit back and forth, or I'll just keep convos short with them, though it goes flat when I throw in an offer to actually ask them out. Two women did want to meet up with me, though the pic I had given them was an old one. And said it was when he was in shape. Maybe I will get back in shape again, but recently I put up a recent picture and got less women. I rate myself average. What should I do?
That is a tough question there, Michael. Michael, we got to get you in shape.
Or Michael, you could just listen to this episode because my mom tackles that question head on.
I do.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions for us, email us at sextalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 323-472-4237. This will all be in the show notes of this episode.
And you could also leave a rating and review on iTunes because those reviews give us the best exposure.
It's super helpful for you to leave a rating interview on the iTunes store. It's also super helpful if you leave money for us at patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. That will all be in the show notes.
What Patreon is, it's like a Kickstarter program, a membership program, where you can actually help us and at the same time get access to messaging back and forth from us directly. So it's confidential, by the way. So it's a real good way to get some free coaching.
That's a lovely little thing, Mother. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Stay tuned.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the Friars Club members.
Doug and Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cam.
Very excited to have two of my best friends on the show today. This is going to be wild.
Well, it's really an honor, and thank you so much for letting us come on the show. And I'm thrilled to be here with my good friend, Scott.
Yep. These are aliases.
Thanks,
for
Doug.
All of our listeners, so don't go trying to fucking Google and Facebook all this shit.
So, look for any Doug and Scott on your wall, and they'll know who it is.
Can we describe each of our current sexual statuses right now?
What the hell does that mean, your current sexual status?
You know,
are you sexually active, you mean, or sexually inactive? Is that what you're asking?
That could be an interesting, yeah. Yeah, that's. We'll start there.
All right. I can start, yeah. Doug, if you don't mind. Cam, if you
Scott,
don't mind.
Go right ahead, Scott.
All right. Well, I was sexually active. I'm a straight heterosexual man. But anyways, I was sexually active up until about 4 weeks ago when I broke up with my girlfriend. And I did that because it was repugnant to think that a woman could actually be attracted to me and like me.
Wait,
it was so repulsive that I had to break up with her.
Jesus Christ.
So
getting deep into this already.
We're in the deep end already.
Oh yeah,
wait a second. Hold on. So, you broke up with her because you're repugnant?
I couldn't fathom the idea of someone actually liking me. A woman. Woman wise.
It's very sad.
It's very sad, but it is what it is. Currently I'm sexually inactive unless you include
glossing over that one.
Unless you include rosy palms and you know.
What is
the hell does that mean?
Rosy palms?
You guys don't know what rosy palms
You don't know what rosy palms
is? That masturbation?
Yeah, it's masturbation.
How do you guys not know how rosy palms?
You mean like
I know
red
that.
Palms because you're like tugging at your dick so much?
They talk about like rosy palms. You know, like, what are you doing tonight? I'm hanging out with rosy palms. It means I'm going to whack off all night.
So you're doing a lot of jerking off.
So, yes, I'm doing a fair amount of masturbation.
You're currently living with your family right now, correct? Are you by yourself? Are you with your roommate? Where are you living? What's the situation?
Scott currently lives in the great state of Michigan. And he lives with mom and dad because he was recently kicked out of the a Roman Catholic seminary for a multiplicity of reasons.
This is correct.
What? Yeah.
Wait, that's hold right. the phone. Okay, first of all, Scott, how old are you?
Scott just turned 32 years old. Okay. And yes, I do like to refer to myself in the third person.
Scott, what was this that you were in the Roman something or other? What was that?
Well, I was in the Dominican Order. So it's a religious order within the Roman Catholic Church. I'm sure perhaps you've heard of the Franciscans, the Jesuits, the Benedictines.
Oh, okay.
So I was in one of these.
He's a very spiritual religious man.
Was, but now I'm pretty much the demon of wrath.
How many years were you in the friar?
Probably total of almost five.
5 years.
You live in a specific, like, is it a church living residence?
You live in a convent with a bunch of other guys.
Oh my God. Do you have to take a vow of
poverty, chastity, and obedience?
You're like a monk.
You're basically just like a monk. Correct.
You chose this path, or this is something your parents got you involved with?
Well, I grew up fairly religious, but I chose the path because I thought it was the right path. But
yeah, you're wearing a cross.
Yeah, he's wearing a cross on his neck right now.
So you still
are for cultural reasons.
What do you mean?
Okay.
It's for cultural reasons.
Okay. So wait. So you're in the friar. What led you out of it?
I was forced out of it. Expelled.
I don't mean to laugh. How do you get expelled from that? I mean, like, these Scientology people, they have to kill their mother to get out of those things. How is it that you are stuck into
this? Well, he's not a Scientologist, brother.
Yeah, I mean, most of these things, they don't kick you out.
I mean, I don't want to go into details, but the system is very corrupt. The Roman Catholic Church is very corrupt. It's actually quite a disgusting, I'll say, organization. And I was kicked out for legit reasons, for dating, which is not allowed.
This is why you were kicked out. You were dating.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Dating, and they also said I was, susceptible to getting very angry most of the time and rebelling against the quote, system. Because I knew...
You're a rebel.
I knew its faults, and I exposed them, and then they had me go because of it.
But when you were in there, in the seminary, you would yearn for women, and you would go after some women and try and date them.
Well, yes, right? And it would often be very successful.
And they basically caught you doing that.
How did they catch you doing that? Mom, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
They did not catch me, I mean, red-handed doing it. I had two of my, what I would call, best friends in religious life betray me.
So basically what happened is,
all guys in this in the residence that you lived in?
Yes.
So basically what happened was he had this tug of war, this duality between God and women, really. I mean, it was right.
Doug, very deep.
No, seriously.
Well, God, atheism, and women, yes.
Because if he's taking the vow of chastity, the vow of celibacy, he can't be with women in the seminary. And yet, while he was a friar, he was pursuing women, are at odds with each other.
Were you?
Well, at least it's better than what you always hear about the. I don't even want to go there about the Catholic priest pursuing little boys. So at least he's pursuing women.
Are you into little boys, Scott?
No, I'm sorry. No, Doug. thankfully, I'm not a pedo.
Good.
It's very good. You know, I don't like butt blasting 8-year-old boys up the ass.
okay.
So,
okay.
What about 9-year-olds?
He goes, before the show, he goes, is cursing allowed? I guess it's allowed.
So, you know, 9-year-olds, 9-year-olds are still a little young, you know. You know, I just,
Moving on.
Okay. Moving on. Okay.
Okay, Scott, so you're in the religious life, and you're thinking to yourself, you just have these impulses to go fuck women.
Oh, yeah,
were you
of course.
Were you a virgin before you went into the religious life?
Negative.
So that's a lot to give up.
Oh, hell yeah, it's a lot to give up.
So didn't you have a lot of concerns going into the religious life saying, yeah, you know, this might not work out? Did you have any inkling that this
was
going to be a game
quote,
breaker?
Normal people that I knew that had entered or were still in religious life said that they struggled with the same issues. I guess it was kind of if you're attracted to women, you're normal. It's a normal thing.
Was part of your rationale for joining the Friars – I can't get any women anyway, so I'm going to take a vow of celibacy so I don't have to worry about it.
Yes, that was part of it.
I
and part of
we
it.
We talked about before you entered. So for our listeners, we had an incredible weekend around my birthday.
4 years ago.
One of the best weekends of your life.
He still talks about it every week?
Yes, in L.A.
Right, Los Angeles.
More than 4 years ago, yeah.
Then we don't hear anything from you for 4 years.
No, that's not true. Not for 4 years.
For about 2 years.
We said 2 years.
We hear nothing.
2 years radio silence.
Radio silence.
Right.
And during this time, you're going through a whole religious experience.
Yes, kind of. Yes.
What's keeping you in the system if you were not enjoying it?
I mean, let's just cut basically right to the chase. It was basically, you know, it's an easy way of life. You know, it's like I'll get academic degrees.
Sure.
I go in, I enter it, and it's like, you know what? The only thing I have to give up really is women, but I can sort of cheat around that. And it basically just gives me a job in this really shitty economy. So
it's very safe.
So it's safe. It's safe.
And it's peaceful.
I did it for utilitarian reasons, basically.
So basically, because you didn't want to work.
I did want to work. Yes.
No,
but it wasn't necessarily a devotion to God per se, because I've known you for 13 years. And in all 13 years, you've always expressed extreme ambivalence around the belief in the hypothetical God, quote unquote, is what you call it. So when you were joining, it wasn't like unequivocal commitment to God. It was more like, okay, this is a route I can take for the next however many years, and it will be a somewhat easy route for me to take.
It'll be an easy route for me to take.
I have a question about the Friars, though.
Yes.
When you were like hanging out with your brethren in the robes or whatever, would you guys like talk about masturbation and sex and people? There's got to be cum like pent up like in all these people, right? I mean, they must be very sexually frustrated, and also.
And I'm assuming porn's not allowed.
No, but
it's not allowed. But I look at it all the time.
But also, do friars fuck other friars?
Because yes, you have... yes, that happens on.
That's interesting.
Multiple times.
That's interesting. Yes.
There are a lot of gay friars.
A lot of gay friars. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not.
Were you ever advanced on?
No, I was never touched by one of them, or I probably would have. None of them tried to physically touch me.
Were you hit on?
Yes, I had been hit
really?
On.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. And to be honest with you, it was kind of flattering, actually.
No, he's so adorable. He is adorable. So is the ultimate goal of being in the fire to become a priest yourself?
Right. A priest or a brother. So a brother is one that never...
Like an aide to a priest.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of like in the olden days, it'd be like a priest bitch, pretty much. Like you'd shine his shoes, clean his room.
A priest
blah,
bitch.
Blah, blah, blah.
And that was your goal is to be a priest bitch?
Yeah, because I didn't want to be a priest because I didn't want to have to go up and go in front of the congregation and give sermons or whatever they call them about.
Just imagine those sermons.
How God is great, and God loves everyone despite how shitty the world is. I mean, I can't do that.
And you're
not
even believing in God at this point, right?
Agnostic.
I believe in a prime mover.
Prime. Okay.
What?
A prime what mover mother.
A prime
mover.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe in the God of Aristotle, as the philosopher Anthony
Aristotle.
Says.
No, but
yes.
You go back and forth between atheism and believing God constantly. You always say when you see a hot woman on the subway now, you said God doesn't exist. You just said that like 15 minutes ago.
Sometimes I just say it for rhetorical reasons, Doug. But
okay. There is an issue that you have a lot of anger and you have a lot, low self-esteem and all that kind of stuff. So do you is that something that you're actively working on helping yourself with?
I was actually for a couple months after leaving being actually expelled from the religious order, but I really just think that going to see someone and talk about these things is rubbish. It really doesn't do anything.
Okay, then.
All right.
All right. So, moving right along, let's move on. Okay, so I did have a few questions here.
So we solved everything? Just to clarify, everything's good to go?
I'm going to give up on that.
Thank
road.
God. Thank God. Pun intended, we did this podcast. Oh, my God. Scott's like... ailment free now. Look at him. He's got this glow. We're done.
Scott's incorrigible, so it's never going to happen.
Okay, can we talk about this, Mother? You're the queen of the self-esteem thing.
Yeah,
what's going on here? Scott is thinking he broke up with his last girlfriend because she expressed interest in him, and he's doing the whole Woody Allen thing or the Groucho Marx thing, which is, I can't be part of a club that
exactly
accepts me, right?
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
I say that we need to work on Scott's self-esteem because no woman – you wouldn't want a woman that didn't have any confidence in herself, right? So no
probably
woman's going to want a guy that doesn't have confidence in himself.
Wait, hold on. Mom, you think the reason that he needs to work on his self-esteem is to attract women? That's the
sole reason?
How about the fact
like
that he needs to live a free life where he loves himself? What the fuck?
He's skipped over the I need to improve myself before I can even think of myself with another woman. That's what I'm trying to say. So he has to go through that first. He's got to improve himself, at least feel confident in himself before he can go out and find anybody else.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, I would generally agree with that.
Yeah.
So you have to decide what you want. If you're happy in the way you are, then that's fine.
But if you
want to make some changes, then you got to actively seek to do that.
Do you think that you broke up with his last girl? I mean, is that really the reason why you broke up, because you found that she was interested in you? Or is it because you just got bored or you just lost attraction and enthusiasm for the relationship?
Cutting to the quick there, Cam.
I would say I just didn't... I just grew complacent. Like, it was fun the first, like, two or three times going out with her and doing that, all that. But then it just became, like, just habitual, and I just thought, this is... I'd rather be, you know, watching TV or something. So I'd be kissing her, and I'd be thinking, I'd love to go home and just watch Seinfeld or something.
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit of a lot of different things, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because I think that's a normal way to end a relationship. You just lose interest. That happens.
Yeah, that happens. So it really wasn't 100%. Or any even, it doesn't even sound like it really was the fact that she was still into you. Or maybe it was just that you felt like she was into you and you felt like you are then obligated to be with her and you didn't really want to be with her. So you decided that, well, if she's into me, something must be wrong with her.
Correct.
I think for me, I've had this feeling as well where if I lose interest in the other person, then everything that person is doing
is annoying.
It's kind of annoying, and I'm like, oh God, why do you even like me? Dude, you don't even understand. You don't even know me. What are you in this for? You know, like I can go south like that.
I don't know if it's really it's partially a self-esteem thing, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think I don't have extremely low self-esteem. I have a tremendous confidence in my intelligence.
It's pretty low.
Okay,
that's
but
good. And you're pretty funny too.
We have to suss out here because the listeners don't know you are hysterical. That in a lot of your humor is self-deprecation. So
yeah.
We got to suss out. We got to suss out. You know, is this really the? Is it a joke or is it a real? Really what's going on?
Yeah, I mean
here?
this is a man, Scott, who has told me that when he goes to the barber to get a haircut, he won't wear glasses so he doesn't have to look at himself in the mirror while he's getting a haircut.
Well, actually, I wear contacts, so I take out my contacts.
Right, yes. He takes out his contacts.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
What?
I do.
And,
and we were having a party at Cam's place in L.A. 4 years ago, and you had to maneuver and position yourself around the room so you wouldn't be facing any mirrors, so you couldn't look at yourself, and you were getting real paranoid during the party, and you're like, oh God, there's a mirror over there. Oh God, there's a mirror over there. And you had to move the mirrors and move yourself so you would never face a mirror and look at yourself. I mean, that's some pretty poor self-esteem with regards to your image. We should address.
Oh yeah, but there's been times like I've been walking at the mall and I mean, I'll turn around and for a brief moment I'll see my reflection in the mirror and it'll be like, ugh, who is that? Ugh. And then it's like, oh shit, it's me.
Oh shit! It's me. Did you always feel this way? Or
no,
this,
no.
Like, something...
honestly, I really didn't. I think started happening.
What age did you start feeling like you can't look in the mirror any longer because you think you're so hideous?
20,
19, 20.
You saw the transition.
Oh, I saw it. In 18, pumped up like all Italian, pumped up like hey, coming into like University of Michigan.
Very cocky, making out with Cuban Italian girls at Touchdown Cafe in Ann Arbor. No longer called that.
And but, like I would come home because obviously Scott and I have known each other from our colleges, and I would come home from class, and he would literally be tanning outside the dorm room on a tanning bed outside with just his gold chain.
So
on.
What happened? What the hell happened?
And then it went from that to 21, where we'd be in my room smoking weed in my dorm, and he would just be looking in my mirror, obsessed. Well, my hairline. What's wrong? Am I losing my hair? So something.
But you haven't lost your hair. You have hair.
No, I know I do. I just like I just was paranoid that
at 21
it would recede, which you know most males go through some hairline recession where it goes back. But thankfully, I come from a good family line where I most likely will not go bald. Now, if I was going bald, I would have to kill myself.
I could see you right now, and you are not a bad-looking guy. I do not know why this is like looking in the mirror hideous. I've seen way worse that have a lot hotter girls.
Cute dimples.
You have cute dimples.
No, everyone actually, I do have confidence in my smile. I have some showcase photos, by the way.
Can we talk about the showcase situation?
Yeah, what are the showcase photos exactly?
What?
We're at a bar. Last time you were visiting, we went to a bar. You said that girl's really cute. I was surprised at my own confidence. I went up and started talking to them, brought them to the table. And then you go, the first thing you say to this girl is, check out my showcase photo.
Oh, the showcase photo's out of this world, man.
What is a showcase photo? What
well,
is
actually,
a showcase
that,
photo?
That was different. Well, one.
Did you do headsets? What are they? What is he talking about?
Well, one was this. Was my grandfather
Yeah, that was the first thing that you showed this girl.
When he was 20, when my grandfather was in the Korean War in 1952.
A random girl at the bar, he goes, "This is a picture of my grandfather."
So basically, it's like here's the thought process. It's she probably doesn't think I'm very good looking, but perhaps I thought, like, on deep evolutionary psychological reasons, I thought, okay, maybe she thinks, like, in his genes there's good looks. So I thought, okay, show her the grandfather. Show her how hot the grandfather was.
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, this guy was just a chick magnet.
I've heard a million of the opening lines. I've never heard something like this.
Check out these jeans.
It's basically my evolutionary way of saying, like, you know, a peacock, whatever, does the thing with its feathers. It's my way of saying, look at my jeans. I may not be the best, but look at the gene pool.
So it's basically like, you may not want to fuck me, but you might want to fuck my grandpa. And look at these jeans.
No, but it's like parts of my grandpa's face, like, are in my face. So, like, you'll get some of it.
What's the other showcase?
Not be the real McCoy.
What's the other showcase photo? The other showcase version
of his grandfather.
The showcase photo is it's changed. The showcase
photo.
Okay,
but what's the concept?
Was this on your phone or did you carry copies of these
iPhone
pictures?
Phone.
So
iPhone 4.
I went to a wedding. It was my cousin's wedding. Very nice wedding, actually, a couple months ago. And I took a picture where I'm smiling and, I mean, I actually thought, wow, that kid's actually pretty good looking in that picture.
That's good.
I'd say like maybe a solid 6.5 or 7 out of 10.
That's good.
That's substantially above average, actually, I would say.
So it's basically like he was online dating in real life. Because you find a good picture yourself, and which you would put on Tinder or Hinge or something like that. And instead of putting it on that, you find a girl at the bar and you go, look at this. And you show the girl the picture.
Check out my showcase photo.
While you're literally looking at the girl. So it's like you're meeting someone and it's like, hey, whoa, hold on. Look at this. Hey, look at this picture.
So here's the logic.
Wait, what are the responses that you get when you show them these showcase pictures?
I witnessed it. This girl was floored. She's like, why is he showing me A, a photo of his grandpa, and then B, a photo of himself? In that showcase photo was several years ago.
You were 18.
That showcase photo was an 18.
Oh, that I looked great in that picture. Jesus Christ! I mean, that
can you imagine meeting a girl at the bar and she was like, "This is a picture of me at 18. Look at this." I'd be like, "What? What's going on here?"
Okay, but I have one now that was from 2 months ago that I will use as my showcase.
We're going out tonight. You're not giving anyone the showcase
photo.
They can see you. This is what it is. They don't need a photo. They don't need to see you in a different setting. This is it.
What you see is what you get.
Why most people look better in real life than they do in pictures?
But here's the thing about the showcase photo, and I'd like to just go over it one more time. It's
that photoshopped? Did you Photoshop it or something?
Doug is quite irritated right now. Unfortunately, you can't see his face. He's often very irritable. He's very temperamental New Yorker. But anyways, the concept is, like, if you don't think I look good right now, check this showcase photo out from 2 months ago. So it's kind of like it's sort of analogous to like this. So it's like I'm driving, I don't know, a Chevrolet Camaro. It's filthy right now. The bumper's all beat up. But look at it 2 months ago when I bought it new in the showcase room.
So you're saying you could get back to that look.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
exactly
one of the dumbest theories ever heard.
Scott, are you expecting to go home with this person that night?
No.
So you're just saying, maybe on a future date, I might look like this photo 10 years ago.
I get the logic of the showcase photo. Like I can actually understand why you would do that. But if you just got to think of this practically, like in a pragmatic way. And if you're at a bar and you're talking to someone and you just, instead of just being yourself and talking to someone, you whip out a photo of the new car version of yourself. Don't you think that'd be a little jarring for whoever's talking to you?
Yeah, you're quite correct.
Scott, is this potentially a defense mechanism? So you don't need to face rejection.
Yes, but I also...
Okay, on another note here, I got to tell you something. I think Scott's onto something.
What? Are you fucking kidding me, Mom?
Okay,
no.
Yeah, because you're competing against a lot of guys that have a lot of confidence, and they maybe even equal to the same looks as you, or even better, right? But you come up with this kind of a funny, quirky thing to do, and some girls like funny, quirky guys.
Do you know, I actually think it's quite funny.
So I'm not so horrified by this whole idea. I think it actually has a potential for making you stand out from the crowd.
I
call it playing in Darwin's playground. When you're in Darwin's playground, let's just put it that way. When you're in Darwin's playground, you must use every resource.
All right, if I'm at a bar and you start talking to me about Darwin's playground, I'm going to think you're going to murder me. This guy's a serial killer.
I'm a serial killer.
Okay, so like I actually had these questions written down, and one of them was, what goes through your mind when looking at a Tinder picture? Like, how do you decide
which ones to swipe on?
I'm assuming you're on dating services like that. No Tinders?
Catholic Match.
Yes, Catholic Match, even though I'm nominally a Catholic.
And this got you into a little trouble.
You went on Catholic Match?
Yes, because he's a friar.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Expelled friar.
I was on OkCupid during that. Catholic Match.
Okay. Well, so you are on some that you put your picture on and you have to swipe and she has and all that kind of stuff, right? So how do you decide like which ones to swipe on and which ones not to?
You want me just to cut to the chase?
Yeah. What goes through your mind?
Okay. This is going to be very superficial, but actually, I don't mind if they have a little curves, or you know, if they, if they're attractive. I mean, if I find them attractive, it's all relative.
No, but
find them attractive.
That's what I'm saying. So someone might find you attractive in the same way, right?
Oh yes, okay. I've gotten likes.
But
and all
Scott,
that.
Scott has a. I would choose to spend. If I were a woman, I would want to spend time with Scott because of his sense of humor, his intellect. I don't. I mean. That doesn't come through necessarily in OkCupid.
No.
On OkCupid.
You're a really funny guy, clearly, and you just had this woman who basically told him that she was in love with him after a month. On their fifth date, she took him to a wedding before they had ever hooked up, before they had ever kissed. She was head over heels. So she got to know you, and she literally fell in love with you.
Yes, that's correct.
And you obviously did not feel the same way back, or were you just getting a little too intimate and you have a fear of intimacy and all that kind of stuff and wanted to get out of that?
No, I don't think it was quite that. I think it was just the I wasn't really attracted to her any longer.
Well, by the way, didn't you have a nickname for your penis?
Maybe when I was like 8 years old.
What was it again? I forget.
It was Little Penis Mario. So if any of you are familiar with the Super Nintendo game Super Mario World, very, very popular early 90s, Super Nintendo is going to release a bunch of games in the fall or winter so you can see it. So basically Mario...
Super Nintendo to sponsor this podcast, episode.
Let me just wait. So basically like you can't fly, like when you get the little feather that comes down to fly... unless Mario's, you know, big, which I used to think, unless Mario's got a boner, basically, it looks like. But, like, if you get hit by one of the enemy people or whatever, like, it shrinks Mario down. And I used to always think that that's what a little dong looked like when it's, you know.
The little penis Mario.
Little penis looks like when it's flaccid. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. I hear you. So let me ask all three of you guys this. Do you guys always get off on one-night stands? Like, do you all have climaxes on one-night stands? And do your partners usually have climaxes?
Multiple. On both accounts.
Whoa!
I'd say on the partners, maybe it depends.
I've not had a one-night stand except with three prostitutes in Tijuana, Mexico.
There it is. All right.
And I had to I don't think that I got them off. And I had to
Did you attempt?
I attempted, but they, you know, they're kind of quick sessions, you know. It's like, you know, 10-15 minutes and you hear a knock at the door, like, you know, is that there now? You know, are you finished? And it's like, okay, it's hard to work under that pressure, you know, when there's a time limit. So pretty much I kind of had half a boner the whole time. didn't actually ever finish with either of the trio.
You didn't finish with any of them.
No, I had to self-stimulate.
And then the Rosie Palm thing?
I had to Rosie Palm.
With them?
When the third one, there were like 5 minutes left, and I was just like, you know, fuck this. I'm just going to, we're done. Just like stand over me and let me look at you, and then I'll just finish.
Stand over me. Is there, okay.
I just couldn't do it. There was too much pressure. The knock at the door, it's like that.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
You know, I don't know that many people who have gone to prostitutes before. I have no idea.
Okay,
this
is a great ignominy for me, by the way.
What does that mean?
It's just embarrassing for me. It's dishonorable to say that I have had to do that. But
well, at least you're honest.
I was honest, and I was with my good friend Doug here. Now, Doug did not.
Doug
did not do
it. How's the prostitution?
No, he was not. He was being a.
You want to explain your role in this?
Yeah, why don't you explain your role in
it? Security guard? What were you
kind
doing?
Sort of was protecting
you. I mean, we were in San Diego, and I realized we were close to Tijuana, and I realized that prostitution was legal in Tijuana, and I said, why don't we go to Tijuana for the night and see what happens? I felt that Scott had a lot of sexual energy that he needed to release. And
was this during the tenure? Of the monks?
No. This was like five years ago, friars. And so we went down to Tijuana, and it's the stupid. I mean, looking back on it, I tell people, and they're like, "You are the dumbest people alive. You could have easily gotten kidnapped. We're sticking out like sore thumbs, like literally 2 feet above every other like small Mexican around us, and we're walking around. And you know, it's interesting. We get in a cab and we go to a brothel, like a high-end brothel, and it's like a strip club, except, you know, you don't. They come over to you and they sit on your lap and they said, "Do you want to get out of here?" Instead of getting a lap dance, you have sex with them, and so I basically got to experience the whole thing, but I didn't have sex with any prostitutes, and then
vicariously through Scott.
Yeah, and then Scott ended up having sexual relations with three separate prostitutes in the same night, and I hope you
use condoms and that. Experience.
Yes, I did, and I had let's see, how many, Doug, how many HIV tests did I do after that?
A lot of anxiety.
I know I don't have any diseases
panic
or anything.
Attacks.
Oh, I had panic attacks, and I had to take Xanax for months afterwards because of this. But
did you feel bad about the whole sex worker thing?
Did you
like this?
Yes, I did. I feel let me just say it now. I do feel that prostitute, you know, women having to do that to pay for things and all that, it objectifies women. I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. That night, was it enjoyable for you?
Yes, it's enjoyable when you're getting aroused and all that stuff, but I felt bad for the women that had to be subjected to that.
It's an interesting perspective that someone who's gone to prostitution feels bad. Doug, do you carry different ideologies about this?
About prostitution?
Yeah.
I think the majority of prostitutes, I don't want to say anything too controversial. I think I'm pretty anti-prostitution, and I think the majority of prostitutes, there's like sex rings and sex slaves all over the world, and there's a ton of sexual slavery and oppression that just comes with the territory with prostitution in and of itself. That being said, if it's legal in a certain area like Tijuana or Amsterdam, I think, and if a woman is willingly doing that because she enjoys being a sex worker, I don't morally look down upon that decision if no one is forcing anyone to do anything.
Yeah, but
so
then
that's how I view it. And but also
super
I,
controversial.
And
yeah,
I'm
it's controversial.
Anti, and I also there's a reason I didn't have sex with any prostitutes because I don't want to have sex with any prostitutes. I am opposed to myself paying for sex for whatever reason. I'm just like it's just one of those like innate qualities of mine. Like I have to kiss my kids with these lips when I have kids. I don't know.
I did not. You do not kiss any body part of the prostitute. You're not allowed to. Just so.
But oh, you,
I thought,
you're
you,
not
I thought you
to.
Said you tried to get one off.
I did, but that was with a different member of or appendage.
A different appendage.
Not my tongue.
Oh, okay. I get where you're going here. You use your fingers.
I think it would be. I'm constantly thinking. I'm so anxious and depressed all the time that I'm constantly thinking about the past and the future. And isn't that what they say? You're never present if you're depressed and anxious all the time. And so because I'm so anxious, I usually think about the ramifications of what I'm doing, short term and long term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when I'm in a brothel per se, I'm like, okay, well, if I have sex with a prostitute, that's going to follow me around. And I'm not demeaning you in any way, but I'm going to have to tell my spouse one day, because there's no way I'm keeping that from my spouse. So either that goes dies with me in the grave, or I tell my wife or spouse someday, hey, look, I had sex with a prostitute when I was 24, yeah, four, yeah, or yeah, five or whatever. Right?
I would like to, for all of our listeners, I know this is a super controversial topic, and I'm still very confused in the whole thing, so that's why I like to hear people's opinions. But if you're interested in this idea of sex work, should it be legal, should not, I highly recommend you listen to our podcast episode where we interview two sex workers,
mother and daughter.
Mom, yeah, and daughter, both hookers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they enjoy the work?
Loved it.
See?
Yeah.
Said it was,
yep,
very fulfilling, meaningful work.
It's a complicated issue.
Very complicated. So, yeah. I mean, so Scott, it's hard to know where these women, did they feel the same way? It's very hard to know that. But, I mean, your experience.
Yeah. All right. You know, yeah, what? So can we move to.
You want to move on?
Sure.
Along those lines.
MoveOn.org.
The whole idea of being with someone then is you guys are into one night stands or you're not. Apparently, we just heard that Cam is not. But what
I'm
about
anti.
Fuck buddies? What about fuck buddies?
Anti.
Go ahead, Doug.
I think that you have to define. I think that each relationship is different, and I'm okay with, as long as the two people are generally on the same page with defining the relationship, whatever that may be. And that includes fuck buddies.
Scotty?
Well, I'm into one-night stands, and I'm also into fuck buddies or friends with benefits.
You've never had a one-night stand.
No,
how do you know
stitched.
You're into it? You've never had a one-night stand.
Well, I had a one-night stand with a prostitute.
And you said you hated it.
I did say I hate it. But so I said I like the idea of it.
Also, a very different thing to have
very
a one-night stand
thing
than
very
to pay
different
for sex.
But you definitely want to have the experience of a one-night stand.
Fuck yeah, I do.
Let's make it happen tonight. KP, do you have any advice tonight? We're going out tonight to a club. He wants to have a one-night stand.
Humans will be on Mars in the next year before that
I
happens.
Literally would kill to be a fly on the wall with you guys in a club tonight. That would be, like, hilarious to me to see
the three of us walking up. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen tonight.
I think there has to be some FaceTiming going on with me.
No, mother, we're not FaceTiming you from the fucking club.
Who knows? You might have a showcase photo.
That's no way to talk to your mother.
She wants to FaceTime you when I'm going to a club. I'm not going to FaceTime her.
Who said you?
It's worse than the showcase photo.
I'm FaceTime Scott and Doug.
All right,
okay?
Well, hold on, KP.
You can FaceTime me. That's fine.
Any advice for Scott tonight? He really wants to have a one-night stand. Is there any concrete advice that you have for him?
Oh, you got to bring your A game. Like, you have to be, like, this is the night, even if you got to fake it till you make it type of thing. You got to fake confidence.
Oh, okay. This is sociopath 101 night, basically.
No, I'm not talking about cocky, obnoxious, you know,
and
that kind of thing.
How about lies about, like, what you do for a living and all that?
No,
kind of stuff.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, who gives a shit, though? You're not going to see him the next day.
But don't bring up lies. Don't do anything like that. Just try to be pay as much attention to her and be as make her feel special. And I don't mean, like, sitting there telling her how gorgeous she is or whatever, because nobody wants to hear that crap. But, like, look in her eyes. Pay attention to her body language. Give her good, you know, smiling, attention. Ask her good questions that have to do, like, more than just, like, you know, what do you do for a living? Ask her what she's passionate about. You know, things that are going to make her think, whoa, this guy is looking at me more than just an object.
So you're not in the realm of there are some guys who are like, you know, just be a dick and they'll like you. You're not part.
That negging shit. No, I'm very anti-negging.
Because
and
there's this whole Black Mirror episode where
I'm
John.
I'm very aware of it.
You know the episode?
No, I'm very aware of negging and peacocking.
Oh, well, there's this episode basically where John Hamm is this virtual reality ladies man, and he it's a very good episode. It's called White Christmas, and we should have Black Mirror or Netflix sponsor this episode. watch Black Mirror. But John Hamm, he's basically, you know, it's in the future, and he's these guys have earpieces in, so he's leading nerds through clubs and telling them what to say and doing background research on girls while they're talking to people.
Say no more. I will be watching Black Mirror episodes.
Incredible episode. And
John Hamm.
So he's very good looking. And so in the episode, his whole thing is talk to her friend. Ignore her, talk to her friend.
Oh, wow.
And so he starts talking to her friend, and that gets the girl more interested. Ignore her, talk to her friend.
I'm not a big game player, and I think this doesn't go after the hottest girl in the club. It goes after the one that maybe is not – maybe she's not the hottest.
I totally agree with that. And also, back to the fake it till you make it thing, I am totally on board with that because I find that even last week when I was at a bar, if you get in your own head and you start getting self-conscious and you, like, freeze up, obviously it's not going to go well. But if you just fake it, which is literally what I do a lot of the time in many aspects of my life. I fake it.
Right.
I told you the other day.
Career, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It works out in many – not all the time, but in many occasions, if you just fake it, it works out very well.
Can I pose a counter thought?
Of course.
He's going out for a one-night stand, and you tell him he's gotta really look into her eyes, be curious about who she is deep down. So don't you think inherently that is a bit – aren't those opposing thoughts like, oh, get to know her really well and just see where the night goes versus I want to get laid, so I'm going to go do this, make this
a perfect. We don't know that it won't turn into more than a one-night stand.
But basically – what I'm do you see
I mean he might
that I'm
he might
here?
Yeah, I thought about that when I was giving him that advice, but I truly believe that if he does end up, the consequence might be that they will have a relationship. But you know I guess going in as with a one night stand, why would you want to just have a one night stand?
Well, he's only here for a little bit. He's in town visiting,
so I mean, who knows? I mean, I was long distance for 4 years. You never know what could happen.
I like this long distance thing.
So the key is to talk to women. That's
no
one.
The key is to listen,
right. Oh, look at that, KP dropping some wisdom.
But a pro, there's got
to
be
be a little bit of talking,
yeah,
at the least.
My point is that you there's well, needs exercise, to be some kind of initiation. There's got to be some kind of initiation. That's my point. And oftentimes there's no initiation. There's
well, the
zero.
Initiation could be him showing his showcase photos.
I think it's pretty
thank
funny.
You
it's pretty funny.
Thank you.
This has been a very good good discussion, group guys.
Very good discussion. Any other comments that you guys feel pressing that you need to get out?
I know Scott does.
Yeah, I mean, Scott does have something.
Oh, boy.
It's very hard to like talk about. Not really hard to talk about this, but why can't we just cut off all this contrived stuff where, you know, hi, maybe just like what's your name, what you do for a living, but not this, you know, flirting. Why can't it just be like, do you want to have sex with me, yes or no?
Yeah,
and just like just cut right to the chase, either on a dating app. I know there's like these adult friend finders, but there's all spam on it and all this kind of stuff. But why can't you just go to the bar and it's like, do you think I'm attractive, yes or no? Do you want to go home later and possibly have sex, yes or no? I wish
question.
There could be something just like that easy.
Have
it
you
shouldn't
tried-
be that
I'm
hard.
I'm sure people do that.
Have you tried it?
Oh no, I'd be way too terrified to do that.
But then, might be why it doesn't work.
Why don't
work.
You try it,
could
it later on? Why don't you try it at like 2 a.m?
Mom, do you think that would work?
Oh yeah,
I know, but I don't want to also be in a hospital.
The bars start filtering out, and people get more desperate, and they want to go home with
you.
Want
to go home with me?
I was in a Lyft the other day. I had an hour long Lyft ride in Nevada, and the guy keeps telling me, dude. If all my years living on this earth, I've never been hit on more than the past 6 months as a Lyft driver. When I'm bringing home women and they don't – and like drunk women and they're not going home with someone, I have been invited in to more houses than I can count just because they want to have sex with someone.
I told you what happened to me in the Lyft the other day. I was coming to meet you late at night, and this drunk girl – it was a Lyft line. She is getting out of the car, hugs me, and then kisses my neck.
You love that shit.
Not exactly.
Oh, I would love that shit.
But my point is the bars filter out and people want to go home with someone. And so I agree with KP, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., like, why not? Hey, you
want to... Well, you got to stay away from going home with drunk girls, though. That could get yourself in a lot of trouble. Yeah, but if they're semi-sober and it's late at night, you might get lucky.
Yeah, same level.
Our final question we end with all of our interviews. Have you guys been walked in on by a parent or have you walked in on them?
Why do I feel Scott's going to have an unbelievable story with this one? I just see it coming.
No, I have not actually. Never.
No.
And apparently I walked in on my mom, but I don't remember
this
whatsoever.
And Dad.
How old were you?
Seven. I have no idea. No recollection of this.
No, you were probably in high school. You were in high school.
Don't remember this.
High school?
Don't remember.
He was in high school.
Dude,
doesn't
have you
remember
talked
it.
About this in therapy?
You repressed,
this could be a big
you
thing.
Repressed the memory.
I repressed it. I don't remember.
You got to get it out there.
Dude, I can't remember anything from high school.
This
are you
might
kidding
be affecting
me?
Your sexual
we need to
life.
Psychoanalyze.
You
need
talk
psychoanalysis.
About this stuff.
You need psychoanalysis?
And by the way, I'm an advocate of psychoanalysis over this cognitive behavioral therapy rubbish that they use now. It doesn't work.
On that okay.
Note. On that note, thank you guys very much for coming in. I really appreciate you opening
awesome.
Up with us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.